Blog Talk
this
Radio.
Is, yeah, this is Brother Marquise, and you are listening to FirebackRadio.com. I am the host, and I am actually waiting for people to get on here. Who do I have here today? Who do I have here? All right, who's on with me right now?
I'm on. This is Michelle.
This is Veronica.
Okay. All right, Michelle and Veronica, thank you. I appreciate you ladies showing up, and forgive me for the technology hiccups.
Hey, right. It happens. We're here.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I'm gonna mute you out, and then I will go ahead and get the show started. All right, here we go.
Okay.
This is Brother Marquise, and you're listening to FirebackRadio.com. And I just wanted to bring something to your attention today. I have watched in horror as this particular movement walks straight through the church, straight through the media, and even straight through the doors of the education system with almost nothing close to being friction to slow it down. The U.S. government, even under the Obama administration, kicked the doors open for this to become mainstream. And now we have to deal with the fallout. We've had to deal with it ever since. It has become a slippery slope. And under President Obama, it was a forced normalization of this lifestyle. And what am I talking about? We're talking about the LGBTQ lifestyle. I mean, for me, whatever floats your boat. I mean, do what you do. However, my question is, if you are in this type of community, how deep are you willing to go? How much are you willing to sign off on those who are pushing this thing way too far? I also question the audience that are there limits to this? Are there any limits whatsoever? But right now, there's a backlash happening. But the media has literally turned a blind eye completely to this. And today we're going to talk about some of those concerns. What's crazy is that even some gay people and bi people have a concern that we are going to talk about. And that by itself could possibly cause a rift in the community. We have been fed a bunch of political correctness that has softened the minds over the average person. And it seems like it's taken their ability to ask questions away. But not here. You know why? This is Fireback Radio. This is where we question everything, whether you like it or not. So now we could talk about the trans community specifically. They are literally trying to turn out elementary school-age children and younger. And I've seen some of these pride parades over the years where I think the latest one was a man with breasts walking, twerking, and flaunting topless right in front of a cop, and he did nothing but get out of his way. That upsets me because, I mean, there were children in the parade, and children are seeing this. And I'm trying to figure out for the rest of that community, why is nobody talking about it? What about the guy who's walking down the street with dildos attached all over his body? What about the guys? What about the two men who are riding down the street having sex? I mean, this is over the years that I've seen. This is crazy. And yet nobody was arrested for indecent exposure in anything. I mean, we can talk about how the media has increased its attention to this lifestyle. You know, when you commercialize something, it can become a guided norm. Well, let me rephrase it. When you invoke propaganda, you then have the ability to move minds of the people into a place of agreement with an agenda. And this particularly is it. It's funny to me that somebody once says that we are in a war on for our minds, and it seems like most people have lost theirs, so apparently it is true. Now they're coming after our children. We could talk about the rest, but today it's all about one topic, and we're going to move into other areas, of course. But right now, we want to deal with biological men competing in women's sports. And these men are coming in under, I'm a woman. And a lot of women are speaking out, but not too many people, not too many women are being heard. This is why you have Fireback Radio. It's now the people's turn on Fireback Radio. We'll be back in a brief moment. Welcome back to FirebackRadio.com. This is Brother Marquise. On the phone, I have two ladies who want to say and speak their piece, and I am opening their microphones up right now. Ladies, talk to me. What say you about this agenda?
Michelle, you want to go first, or I will? Up to you.
Yeah. You go first. We're just talking about the sports issue. Is that what we're talking about today?
We can
it
talk
sounds
about
like
issues.
It sounds like it. Yeah, I want to.
Okay.
I want to
yeah.
premise. I want to premise my remarks, Marquise, if that's all right, with my saying I don't have any specific issues. I'm very supportive of the LGBTQ community. My very specific issue, as you've outlined, is towards the erasure or cancelization of women and womanhood, which I see mm-hmm. as very, very problematic. And so as we make our way into the issue of sports, I wanted to just premise my remarks and my opinion with that. I think we do have a huge problem, and I wish Michelle would say a bit more about the history of how we got here. I know a little bit about it, but I'd love for Michelle to speak a little bit about that, if that's all right.
Well, I've been looking at this for just about 4 years, so I'm newer than some people about I'm not exactly sure how we got to it. I mean, it's money. It's mm-hmm. And I have talked to some credible people who feel like that there's no money anymore to be made with the LGBT community since AIDS is sort of not on the rise anymore, and medication is you know worked out there. Gay marriage came about. So these nonprofit organizations, which I guess probably are really not nonprofits, need someplace else to go to. And so this has been a very lucrative field, not only for those organizations, but for, you know, the pharmaceutical industry. There's a lot of money to be made with this, and I think that that's how we got here. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, and, you know, there's some other aspects that some people talk about, which is that this also, you know, this is controversial, but it because there's so many aspects to this movement, you know, from the children to the women to the homophobia But there is a fetish-driven part of this, and that a lot of people feel like it early on came about as something that legitimized male fetishes. It's called autogynephilia. So there's all that, you know. So where exactly it started, I think it's just a combination of things that occurred, and, you know, patriarchy is behind all of it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting, the whole concept of assignment. You know, the other day I was looking up the term gender assignment, and I did come across, to your point, Michelle, I came across a huge clinic that performs the surgery, and that clinic gave a very clear definition of assignment, how we are assigned a gender at birth by the doctors, by the nurses. And I thought, exactly what you just said, to your point, which is this is marketing. Their benefit is money. So this clinic is now defining gender assignment and what that means, which is this terminology which has seeped into our culture now, assignment. My question was on a group forum, so what is the source of this assignment? who exactly is creating this assignment as it's been designed. And there was an echo chamber. There was no response. So it makes me think about a very interesting man, and you've cited the patriarchy, and his name was Milton Erickson. Milton Erickson mm-hmm. was during WW2, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he was a family therapist and a hypnosis expert. And one of the things that he said to our point, which is this whole language thing, you know, whether it's radical feminists who are not in agreement with this, or assigned gender, is when we change the language, we change minds. Changing minds changes reality. And that's a
Absolutely.
Really dangerous concept. I think that's exactly what's happening here.
I mean, Orwell even said that, right? That mm-hmm. when you change language, change reality. Exactly. It's been
right.
rather planned.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where we are right now, though. So that's where we are right now, where the definitions are mm-hmm. – I guess changing the definition changes the reality. So my question then becomes, why are we in agreement with the change in identification?
I don't think that we are in agreement.
No.
I think the
no,
media...
No, I'm just... Exactly. I'm just saying, why is the media pushing the reassignment
right.
Situation. Mm-hmm. What is the end game when what we're looking at here? What is the end game?
Well, the media is funded by these powers that be, right? The media is funded by the pharmaceutical industry and all of these billionaires who are behind all of this. And you ask why we're all behind it. The reason they have to silence people and go after people and fire them and do anything they can do to silence them is because people would not all be behind it, you know, unless they only hear this one thing. If there could be a conversation about this, it would be busted open pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's starting to be a little bit. And so they're starting to feel like it's, you know, like there might be a little bit more people, you know, starting to realize what's going on because the conversation isn't being successfully silenced quite like it was even a year ago, which is good. Mm-hmm. But I think this, you know, obviously if everybody would be on board quite easily because it made sense, they wouldn't have to silence everybody. It's just being driven by big money.
Yeah, I do often think about, I agree with you, Michelle, but I do often think about, like, to Marquis's point, what is the end game? I think for me, the answer is, I don't know. But we could go real deep down the rabbit hole and we could, you know, examine it. What is the end game? A form of depopulation is one theory mm-hmm. that sort of floated out there. Something even the transgender community, because when a community that formerly feels disenfranchised suddenly has power, historically, you know, this is a feeling of specialness and a feeling of I'm being paid attention to. Very often, rightfully so, but in this circumstance, it just seems completely unjustified. So you have to ask, I have to ask myself, are they part of something that they are not even aware of? Are they victims in all of this as well? So again, how far, you know, down the rabbit hole do we go in thinking, in speculating about endgame? Why?
Well, first of all, the question is, what is a transgender person? And it's an incredibly rare thing, and it is really just gender dysphoria. Mm-hmm. You know, we have article after article and research paper showing that when kids who feel gender dysphoric are not allowed to go through all those changes, that they grow out of it in late teenage years or early 20s, and that they were really just homosexual or just confused, you know, teenagers go through things. And so I don't think, you know, when you say all of the trans people that were marginalized, there weren't very many before it started to be sold to people, right? So I think that the majority of people saying that they are trans are not truly truly gender dysphoric deep down to the point where they never grow out of that and really do have to live as the opposite sex. That's a rare thing. But the other thing that is a newer idea that Jennifer Bilek talks about, and she has done a lot of research on this, is that this all could as well lead to transhumanism. And one of the behind this is Martine Rothblatt, who is he has a book about transhumanism. He lives as a woman. He's married to a woman. And Jennifer Pritzker, also the former Army sergeant with a family who is now living as a woman, who is from the pharmaceutical family, the Pritzkers. These two have a lot to do with this, but Martine Rothblatt has a book about transhumanism. And so if you can convince people that their bodies are wrong and you can just fix it and change it, you know, that could easily be lead to people, you know, buying into transhumanism more easily. Mm-hmm. So that's another idea.
That's what it seems like is going on right now, is that because, like I said, when Obama was president, this is one of the things that he pushed, and no other president before him has ever pushed mm-hmm. anything like this. And it made me question where he was as a man, mm-hmm. because if mm-hmm. you're a heterosexual male, at least at that time, you are not backing, not as hard as he did, anything alternative to what you are, who you are, or whoever is supporting you, because that's just not what a man did back then. But until it just seemed like he opened up the floodgates and he pushed it, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but he ended up going overseas and pushing this same agenda. And I think it was in Jamaica or somewhere like that where they shut him down. It was like, no, we're not doing that here. But I've never seen a man go all out for an issue if he himself wasn't that he was pushing.
Mm-hmm. So to his credit, one of the things one of the things that's done brilliantly in this indoctrination, which is what we've experienced incredible indoctrination. Mm-hmm. To his credit, what they did is they wrote on the back of the LGB. And right now, the LGB Alliance, I don't know if you know of them, it's an organization in the UK that started a nonprofit to support LGB people without the rest of the alphabet, because they just didn't think that was, you know, these people. And these people also understand the homophobia in this, you know, because now they're being told that if they're not attracted to same gender instead of same sex, that they're bigots. Right, so a man is being told that he has to be attracted to trans men if he's gay, and lesbians have been really harassed by trans women who say that they're lesbians. And so a lot of people in the LGB community are breaking off, and this organization has been hounded. They're discriminating against them. There's no power for the LGB people anymore. The trans community, this ideology has written on the backs of the LGB community. Now, there's nothing similar about being attracted to the same sex and feeling like you're in the wrong body. Mm-hmm. So how this even started, I think, was the kindness of LGB people to include. And now this group is taken over. So I think people like Obama really just felt, you know, they didn't want to be on the wrong side of this, like they were on the wrong side of gay marriage and these other things. I don't think it was thought out very well.
All right, hang on one second. Let me get in there. You said the wrong side. What is the right side of gay marriage?
Well,
what is the right or wrong side? What is the right or wrong side of gay marriage? And has anybody, where is the moral compass in all of this? I mean,
I personally support gay marriage. I am not a religious person, and I don't, I think that, you know, for me, marriage is, it's a commitment between people, emotionally, but also, you know, if you want your person to be able to be the person that comes to the hospital when you're dying, you know, these kinds of benefits, taxes, these kinds of benefits that you get when you're married. I believe that gay people who are gay.
You know what? I'm gonna hit right there. Now, I don't have a problem. And see, this is where the line split. You know, historically, marriage is between a man and a woman. And somehow, I think one of you guys mentioned earlier, somehow that was changed. That definition was changed. But also, it was, like you mentioned, about your significant other going into the hospital. Those are two separate issues. You got, and that was built, they built that on the back of the standing, not the standing law, but the standing procedure about not having, you cannot have family members going to the hospital or whatever. If anything that should have changed, it was that, because if you're laying in a hospital bed, you should be able to see who you want to see. You don't, you shouldn't have to change marriage.
Well,
the definition
what I
of
meant
marriage
more about that
just
was
to, just to change
what
the
I meant
policy.
More about, right. But what I meant more was the person who gets to decide what happens when, you know, in the hospital. Like, for instance, somebody has to decide you're in a coma. Somebody has to decide what to do. Or, you know,
okay, that's
still
policy.
And, you know, yeah, that is policy, right. But I mean, exactly. And so
I have to jump in. Gay marriage is not my issue. I don't judge it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my issue. As I said earlier, my issue is the transgender issue. I don't have any, you know, I'm very supportive of whatever someone wants to do that is non-harmful to others, and I don't see gay marriage as being that. So that's never been my issue. I wanted to say in regard to Obama, too, in his defense or not in his defense, because my feeling is that the governing systems and the governing people are puppets. I don't think that Obama was any more or less that puppet. I think it was a matter of timing. Mm-hmm. So I can't, you know, discredit him any more than I can discredit someone who I don't personally like Trump. I don't seem to have any affinity towards or regard for the man as a man. Some of his policies I agree with, some of his policies I don't agree with, but my issue is these heads of state in the United States are mere puppets. What's driving it is, as Michelle said earlier, in my opinion, the pharmaceuticals, money, corporations, imperialism, these are the things, you know, these are just different faces. The governing person is just a different face. So while we can draw attention to them, the timing was right for him. That's all. He was given his marching orders, and he marched. That is all, in my opinion.
You know what? I can't argue with that. That's how I see it anyway. However, it literally changed the definition of a human being, of a man, of a woman,
right.
And now you have now you have men. Or I'm sorry, now you have women posing as men having babies, and now they get
and
offended
I wonder,
when somebody calls them the mother.
Right.
And
we've hit
a point in humanity where people want to blur the lines, but they have to get over. I mean, you can change the definition all day, but a man is a man, a woman is a woman. I don't have a – I mean, my axe to grind – with gay marriage is, you know, if that's your business, you know, that is your business. But when it comes to this whole transgender thing, you cannot have a man play dress up and then try to convince elementary school kids that it is the thing to do when they themselves, they have to go through their own life without being influenced by that nonsense. And what bothers me is that the government allows for that.
Mm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one more thing, though. When Obama did that, I think, again, we were looking at trans people as being, you know, these truly minority of group of truly gender dysphoric people who would get sex reassignment surgery. And that's, they would live their lives as the opposite sex. That's no longer needed. I wonder if Obama foresaw that. You know, this is a relatively new thing that you don't need. And self-ID is a relatively new phenomenon in the whole movement. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you give an inch and they just keep going. In 4 years' time, I've seen this turn into, it's amazing what has happened in 4 years from, you know, a small group of people who needed to have sex reassignment surgery to change their license, their birth certificate to say they were female,
right,
to anybody who says, hey, I'm a girl. And in fact, some guys proudly say that they live as females some days and as males other days. And on those days they live as females, they go straight into female, you know, spaces. So
right,
it's turned into, it didn't start like this.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
That is also true. It is the slippery mm-hmm. slope. Go ahead.
So one of the things, and I don't know if this was Colin Wright. I don't know if you're familiar with him, Michelle, since this is more your
yes.
issue. But he, you know, one of the very simple things that he said is we cannot stand for the obliteration of the reality of biological gender. And this is exactly what it comes down to. And I don't think,
yeah.
Marquise, to your point, I remember there was some conversation I might have jumped in, and I believe your statement, I don't want to mischaracterize it, was, why aren't women standing up? Women are standing up. That's what's so incredible to me is every
yeah.
woman I know from every stratosphere of society is saying, oh, no. They're saying exactly what I'm saying very clearly, which is this feels a lot like appropriation. You are invited to the table, but you cannot have my seat at the table. I mean, that is exactly what this is. And when we change things,
right.
when we change the language and change the minds, what they're hoping for is the same thing they always hope for in this kind of brainwashing, and that is that we will eventually, the large voice that we are that's saying no will sound like it's a very small voice, and we are radical feminists as they define us, or we are conspiracy theorists, or some of these other new terms that have just popped up in
yeah.
the past 3 years. And we know that it's the changing of language. How can you change the reality of biological gender? It's an impossibility.
So my issue is that even though a lot of women are speaking, a lot of women are not being heard.
That's right. Perfect.
That's the problem. A lot of women
that's
are
what I was
speaking,
going to say.
But they are not being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Just until
mm-hmm.
very recently, you would be taken off of Twitter or Facebook for speaking about this. I've been
right.
banned so many times, I can't count it. But I know numerous women who have just been completely taken off. And so, yeah, we have been silenced. It's not that we haven't been speaking, but there is still a very large group of what we now have to call liberal feminists. I don't like these terminologies, but just to make clear, there's still a huge group of these people that are still, I think they still think that they're dealing with an issue that has to do with sort of the LGB, the original community of people that were discriminated against when they shouldn't have been. And they're still conflating the two and not seeing what's happening. So there are a lot of women that are still fighting against us, sadly.
Well,
but I think
it's also
more and more.
Yeah, I think it's also very interesting the kinds of alignments that we're finding, our alliances, I should say, that we're finding. And I'd like to hear, you know, from a male perspective, where you might not be seeing these alliances, Marquise, because I'm seeing them everywhere. They're crossing lines, Republican, Democrat, that's inconsequential. Church folks,
yeah.
non-church folks, you
yeah.
know, people from the LGB community or heterosexual. This seems to be women
yeah.
standing up. Whether it's, you know, I have a niece that is an
yeah.
elite athlete who got a full scholarship to college on her athletics. This is a conversation that all of those girls are having because they're
yeah.
about to enter a professional forum in which it's going to be an issue. So they
yeah,
are
yeah.
having the conversation, but I want to hear from Marquise where he's not hearing the conversations.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a chance to just kind of
mm-hmm.
sit around and watch media. I watch the mainstream media dance around issues. I mean, not just with this, but they dance around a lot, and it's a shame. It is a shame, and
mm-hmm.
they really shy away from having that conversation. Like we said earlier, there are women speaking, but there are nobody being heard. There's nobody being heard.
Right.
And
right.
If women were heard as loud as the other side, then we might be able to have a conversation. But it's not happening. I mean,
right.
I mean it is insane. Like this situation with these 31 terrorists in Idaho or wherever they were. You know, it's they call them terrorists. Were they terrorists? Not yet. They didn't get a chance to do it. They were all going to be arrested and tossed into the slammer and let go. But what were they going to do? They're going to be charged with starting a riot. And mm-hmm. the gentleman who was having that conversation, he didn't go into any detail as to the specifics of why they were there. Were they there just because they were LGBTQ or whatever? I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody was arrested for having guns or anything. I don't know. But that's a really bad example.
Well, to
address the mainstream. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
To address the mainstream media thing dancing around, they tend to avoid the subject because I don't think it is something that most people would receive well if we got to talk about it. But I said 3 years ago that when the sports thing came out and really hit the mainstream, and I knew it was going to because these men were entering women's sports as fast as they could, but that's when it would bust. So when that happened, I actually stopped watching mainstream media when I saw CNN and MSNBC have a trans woman on. Trans woman. One of them was a man who he has not had any surgery. He's a misogynist. I can show you tweets where he said the worst things about women. He was on one of the channels. Another one was on another channel to talk about the sports issue. But they didn't have anybody on the other side to talk about it. That was my answer. You know, so they didn't dance around it. They chose a side, and they didn't even allow the other side a voice.
Well, why did they? Why are they? So we have to think about who
money.
Owns them. I mean, money. And
exactly.
Everything comes down to who owns the media. And all of us are learning, perhaps for the first time, who owns the media. And it's a very, very small group of people, and it's just follow the money. But I have to go back to Marquis's point, too, follow the morality. Where is this – where exactly is this coming from, and what is there – where what is the end game? I think we have to look towards the things that – right.
So at the end of the day, it all seems like it's just the money play. It's like it's like the cattle are being guided to their own demise, and it's a manipulation of the people, and at the least, the end game seems bigger than the topic. You know
right.
what I'm saying? For me, it seems like a spiritual issue, because if you can guide people to do something alternative to what God had wanted people to do in the first place, then at the end of all that, who wins? I mean, everybody is siding with the enemy, in a manner of speaking, when you talk about, you know, allowing for, you know, LGBTQ and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, not just it, but, I mean, we're talking about murder. We're talking about drugs, alcohol, the whole nine. Everything is not even wholesome. You know, we can't even have a toothpaste commercial because it's overly sexualized. I mean,
right.
we're talking about lower-level frequency stuff that's now mainstream. And so for me, I got to look at it from a perspective of where are we actually going energetically, spiritually, as humanity when everything is literally going into the gutter.
Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Michelle. I'm interested because I will place myself as someone who does think about spiritual warfare. And I think that the two terms, dehumanizing and transhumanism, are sort of interchangeable. And it depends on where your perspective is coming from. But if you think of it in terms of spiritual warfare, I don't think that you could change that term for someone who is not, doesn't like to qualify themselves or quantify themselves as religious, you could say psychic warfare. You could say psychological warfare, whatever they want to be comfortable with. Personally, I'm very comfortable with calling it spiritual warfare because I think spiritual is a huge umbrella.
It's a war on reality, right? A war on reality, too, right? I mean, so
right.
This Orwellian changing of language thing, I mean, maybe it's not going to stop here. I mean, look what happened even with the pandemic. It seems to be a war on reality.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know, define what transhumanism is.
Well, I haven't delved way into this, but it would be, you know, the idea of, you know, roboticizing the human body and brain, you know, and Elon Musk already talks about a chip for the brain. Now, he's actually against this ideology, but transhumanism, I don't think he is against.
Well, the word trans, I just want to say this. I want to break it down a little bit. Of course, the word trans means beyond, across. You know, it's beyond. So if we just break down the word, transhumanism is beyond humanism. So we
right.
think of the word beyond as a good thing, but is it always?
No.
So, right. So very often, you know, so if we really break it down to its basics, transhumanism means beyond humans. So then we have to give it an even further definition. What does that mean? You know, we can call transhumanism anything, basically, but that's the very simple definition of anything that has the word trans in front of it.
And I think it can go anywhere from bionic
mm-hmm.
type stuff to
right.
genetic altering,
right.
you know. I
right.
think they have the desire to genetically alter the human being to benefit
mm-hmm.
them.
To benefit them. And once again, you know, I'm one of these guys where I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about the spirituality of it. If that is the case, then what does that mean for someone's spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
we're seeing
I think
spirit.
That, yeah, that is something other than. I think that's something that a lot of people they don't take into consideration is like, you know, what are we actually doing to our spirit? What are we doing to ourselves? And again, they're bringing us into the children during their
mm-hmm.
development.
Yeah.
So they themselves will lean toward opening up different aspects of sexuality. And it's crazy. It's sexuality. It has nothing to do with anything else, it seems sometimes. And it's crazy to me. It's absurd to me to attack the children or to put our children in a position like that, and yet they call other people terrorists. I don't understand that.
Well,
this seems like a war on us
yep,
and children.
Yep.
But go on.
Yep. You say crazy and absurd, but it's actually brilliant. It's brilliant were it not so diabolical, because
yeah.
when you start at such a young age, you know, we've seen so many other things implemented, right, both medically and otherwise, and that's a whole other area of discussion, I'm sure. When you start with someone who is undeveloped and young, you've normalized it from the get-go. And so for
yeah.
us, for, I don't know, you know, the age group here, but let's just say we're all in the same 10, maybe 15-year age group, there is no normalizing. Mm-hmm. We're not having it. So how long
yeah.
do you wait for changes? These people are very happy to wait generationally. So it is actually a brilliant concoction to start an indoctrination that young. It's diabolical, I believe, but it's brilliant.
Hmm.
Yeah. However,
so
let
me ask you ladies a question. Would
mm-hmm.
you allow your young child to go into a gay nightclub and parade themselves on stage to adults?
with a pink background that says it's not going to lick itself. No, I wouldn't.
Right. No. I mean, that's a very committed, absolutely not, no.
But that's what I was going to say. I'm just asking. When you say that we're not having it in our generation, apparently we are, because these are parents taking their kids to do this. These are parents taking their kids to doctors and saying,
point.
She's a boy. You know, they have really infiltrated society very well.
So what would you say to
acceptance?
Like that?
Is it an acceptance thing? Do people just feel like, well, I've got to go along with this because it's kind of like the pop culture thing, which is acceptable? That's what I can't wrap my brain around. Do we have such a herd of humans in our culture? Because I don't know, you know, what's happening in other cultures, but certainly it's not this severe. That is more in compliance mode already. You know, I mean, we have to ask ourselves.
I think they wrote off the LGB community, and many people denied that people could be homosexual. We know now that people are, and they are born that way. They wrote off of all of that. They take all of the language from that. And so parents believe, you know, parents who are liberal people and some who aren't, believe that if, you know, that's what they're saying, that doctor is saying if she says she's a boy, she's a boy, and that just goes back to if he says he's gay, he's gay. I think they just wrote off of that, and every bit of their lingo takes from other movements that are legitimate.
And the other movement, this whole thing with the other movements.
Well, I mean, even the women's movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, all
of
this piggybacks. All of this piggybacks off of the civil rights movement, and that kind of upsets me as well, because they legitimately took all of the struggles and everything that we've had for 400 years, and they pretty much just went behind us, and they got a pass because we carved the path out so cleanly. Anybody could come in behind us and just get a pass. But let me ask you ladies one or two more questions.
That's interesting, but go ahead.
Yeah, who said?
I have to say something real fast about that, because real fast. Just the other day, I saw for the very first time, and apparently this is pretty new but not brand new, it was new to me, that the trans community is now asking for reparations. So they've stolen that from the civil rights language, right?
Wow. Have not seen that
one. True. Yes.
Wow.
Look for
Wait. Say that again.
And I'd love for you to cite that source, because that's a big one.
Well, Google it. I bet you'll find it. Just the other day, I saw it was just a tweet talking about the trans community asking for reparations. And then I went ahead and saw a Substack article from somebody who I follow talking about that's a thing now, that's the thing that they're doing now.
That is a slap.
It's a really narcissistic movement.
Are you serious?
There's no humility.
I'm about to just chunk all the breakfast up, right? Because of that. Let me ask you one last question. Who set the moral compass? I mean, what about morality in all of this? Who's the horse in front?
Well, that's a big question.
And how is it that nobody's bothering to say, hey, is this right? Is this what we want to do? I mean, again, you have grown men who are hanging their hats in this community. They are walking down the street in a quote-unquote pride parade, celebrating what, I don't know, but celebrating that they've been liberated or whatever. So their liberation looks like wearing dildos all over their bodies or riding down the street naked having sex on the back of a motorcycle, and yet none of these people in the parade with their children batted an eye to that behavior. So if everybody wants to lump everything in, then let's lump this in. How is it that this can happen in public? And nobody says, y'all need to sit your ass down. Excuse my language. Y'all need to sit down somewhere, because this is not what we want to do, because there are children out there, impressionable children, obviously,
mm-hmm.
that these parents are bringing these children to, I mean, and there is no conversation about morality. So I want to know if you have a, if what do you say about that?
I have two things that I want to jump in there with. We could say that it's liberalism run amok, because what passes mm-hmm. for liberalism right now is not real liberalism. And the other thing is something that we probably all witnessed happening was this sort of, and I'm making up a word here maybe, adultization of children. And this really was happening. I noticed it in movies and in series and in popular culture, this kind of children leading the way. You know, I remember in the 70s and the 80s, parents and adults still led the way. And suddenly what was creeping in was children were leading the way. They became like the experts, yeah. the eye rollers to anything any parent or adult would say, and how silly the adults were. This is in commercials. You can see it now. It's completely widespread. So if you have adult, I mean, the children look very often mm-hmm. pornographic. I was a teacher from K to 12 for many years, and at the time that I was an elementary teacher, I remember seeing Britney Spears up on the cafeteria wall in a Catholic girl outfit for a milk commercial. You know, she had that milk mustache. I had to march my butt into the principal's office and say, "Not okay. Why is that up there?" And she said, "Oh, my goodness, Veronica, we're going to take that down." But I was one of the only teachers bringing that to the fore. And you have the same with parents. They bought into it. And that was, 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. So now we have this normalization of adultization of children. So all bets are off. They're leading. They're capable of the same in the mentality, in the psyche, in our culture. It's almost as if they're fine. They're adults.
Yeah.
They can make these decisions, and they're quite capable of sexualization when we know that they're not sexual creatures in the sense that
yeah.
we're talking about it.
Okay, so with all that being said, what then about those parents who would then take their child to a pride parade, which is, what do we do?
Mm.
What do we do with that? I mean,
since
they want to go after parents, I'm just saying they want to go after parents for disciplining their children, but you don't go after parents for misguiding or miseducating their children, pushing them into a lifestyle for which they themselves haven't even figured out who they were yet.
Right.
I mean, I think, Phil, it's incredible
and
societal
indoctrination.
And
now we have to ask ourselves, now the question is, who's a woman, who's a man? And I'm 50 years old, and I'm just at a loss for words where people
mm-hmm.
don't know or don't have it, or don't want to have a definition, or is trying to change the definition of a woman or a man. So, any last words you ladies have in closing?
I want to put the last word as I hope people will see the movie What Is a Woman, or the documentary by Matt Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant because it's to the point of your very last or your last question sort of comment, Marquise, and that he does a brilliant job of opening that can of worms. If you haven't seen it, see it and spread that mm-hmm. word, because this is a dialogue that we absolutely need to have. What is a woman? I can't believe we're asking the question, but he brings the absurdity of even having to have that conversation or ask that question to the fore.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think that we're so, we're so tribal and polarized politically that the left has been very successful at silencing anybody within its party that might think differently. And the
mm-hmm.
first thing they do is they call them right-wing Trump-supporting QAnon freaks. My mother has done it to me. And I'm a lifelong liberal. you know, maybe not so much now, but a lifelong liberal. And so that's another way they're keeping people from thinking and keeping people silent is with this tribalism, which I've been part of the indoctrination, part of the plan from the higher-ups, I think it has.
Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much, Marquise. We appreciate you, too.
Have a great day, guys.
Keep doing that. All right. Take care.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
So this is Brother Marquise, and up next we have a few other callers who want to get in on it. And let me open up the line here, because this right here is that was an interesting conversation that I had with those two ladies. I will reserve my comments until after we get done with this next segment. And I'm going to open up all of the phone lines right now. Who do we have on the phone with us right now? Who do we have?
Wallace. Hello, can you hear
me? Yes, sir. How are you doing today, sir? Here you now, yes.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good, brother. Very interesting. I thought it was an excellent podcast. I think it was much needed dialogue and conversation. I thought excellent points were made. I thought the point was where the lady brought up was you talked about children running the culture, and I always reference Isaiah chapter 3. It talks about a culture that has been turned upside down. How do we know the culture has been turned upside down? Because it tells us that the children are running it. In other words, those who know the least are talking the most and trying to drive and direct the culture. And that's where we are now. Now, how did the culture get turned upside down? It tells you that the first thing that happened is the man of war, the man of valor, was removed out of the culture, the warrior, not the preacher, not even the elder. Not even the wise man. They first took the warrior out of the culture. And I talk about that, how the attack has always been on manhood and how the way, because of how our society is structured here in America, they went after the black man first because he was easy prey. They marginalized him. They ostracized him. They criminalized his very existence. They dehumanized him, and then they feminized him. They replaced the warrior spirit with the thug mentality. So that's that. And then they went, and they made him look racial when it wasn't. The attack was really on manhood, but they disguised it as racial. They then went after the white man, and that's what they're under attack right now. If you notice, they've marginalized him, and they've ostracized him. In other words, he's not allowed to share his opinion in public forums. Even when he's the topic of a conversation, he's told his opinion don't count. They criminalized his existence by calling him toxic. They dehumanized him by calling him oppressor and colonizer. And now they're trying to feminize him and remove the warrior spirit out of him. Why is that? Because the New World Order, the liberals, they understand that the straight conservative Christian white man with guns is the last line of defense. That's how they view him. That's why he's under such attack. But I want you to notice the similarities, how what they did to the white black man and then what they now do to the white, it's the same attack. They disguised it as racial. And we have to look past the racial component to the spiritual aspect, and that's why we keep losing. Because we're fighting the wrong fight. It's a spiritual fight first. It is a spiritual fight that is manifesting in the natural. And so we're going to have to wage war in the natural as well, but we got to win the spiritual fight first. That's where it starts first. And that's why we are in the state that we're in. So now the question was asked about transhumanism, and I love the definition that the lady gave. I can't recall the man's name right now, but he works for Klaus Schwab. He's like his right hand. I see his face, real tiny guy, black hair, glasses. He called us soulless. He said that we are soulless. Let's talk about that. And I'm going to take a religious aspect from it because that's my worldview. Now, let me say this first. For those who are quote-unquote anti-religious, when you study every known civilization recorded in history. I don't care how far back you go. Every last one of them had a concept and understanding of the afterlife. So in other words, religion is very central and foundation to us as humans. Very central, very core. And you cannot understand a civilization without understanding their art. In other words, what they consider beauty and their religious practice. In other words, what is their moral base? So you got to understand that. So I took a religious view.
That's where I wanted to go as well. That's exactly where I wanted to go as well. I'm going to bring somebody else in. Mary, okay. Are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, there we go. You wanted to add something to the conversation. You got the floor.
I have to agree with the brother. I'm going to tell you. You know, I was talking to you the whole time when the other two ladies was on, and I was facing the floor, and he didn't get out because people forget the spiritual aspect of things. This started in the Garden of Eden. The moment we were disobedient in the garden is the moment sin crept into the world. It has nothing to do with liberalism. It has nothing to do with Republicans, the government. We did this to ourselves because of our disobedience to God, okay? If you want to know where your moral compass comes from, it comes from God. It doesn't come from any man, anything that God created. It came from the Creator. The thing is that we choose to not believe or do what the Creator, who is God, said do. And now we got this trash, and this world is garbage can, and this is the reason why the children are doing what they're doing. This is the reason why we got Human 2.0 coming. This is the reason why we have men think they're women and women think they're men. This is the reason why parents don't know how to parent. This is the reason why our government is messed up, is because of disobedience. Do I need to go any further? Because I can go all the way back. I can go all the way back. I can go all the way back to who was the first judge that wasn't supposed to be a judge, Deborah. Deborah was a judge. Men were supposed to be judges back in those days. It was like, I'm serious. Men were supposed to be judges. But because there was no righteous judge, because there was no man that would step up for the standards of God, and they were too afraid, and they didn't want to speak up, God said, you know what? All right, y'all don't want to do it. I'm going to put a woman there. And I'm going to let y'all see the downfall of this, because this also ushered in the Jezebel spirit. Because now you got the Jezebel spirit is running rampant around here, and this is the reason why you got women that are calling themselves pastors, bishops, apostles, and everything else. I'm waiting for them to call themselves high priests next. I'm waiting for that.
You know what's coming.
So, it's coming. Yeah. When there's only one apostle, one chief apostle, which is Jesus, and one chief, which is Jesus. But we are calling ourselves all sorts of things. We have taken the role over men and have put men in subservient positions. Men need to stand up and be men of God. But in order to do that, that means you got to submit to God. And that people don't like to submit. People don't want to submit. Look, I'm a woman, okay? Right. I'm a preacher's daughter, okay? Now, I grew up in the church, but I wasn't always in church. If you know what I'm talking about, I was in the world. All right, I've done the DJing. I've smoked the weed. I popped the pills. I've drank the liquor. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a married woman of almost 32 years. I'm a Navy wife. I'm a stepmother. I'm a godmother. I'm a friend. You know what I'm saying? I'm a cousin. I'm an auntie. I'm a great auntie. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that I've noticed when I came back to the Lord that I was completely out of line. I had to literally go and apologize to my husband for being a Jezebel. And I guarantee you won't find a woman that will do that. Because we have equal footing with the man. The whole problem with us women is we have a place. But the world has told you that your place is more like a servant of servitude. There's a big difference between servant of God and servant when it comes down to the world. The world's servitude is straight up trash.
Right.
God's servitude is priestly and it is right. Okay? Just like slavery. We have a tendency to think slavery is something that happened in the U.S. or it happened all over the world. But biblical slavery only lasts 7 years, and it was to pay a debt for indigenous type of stuff. It wasn't for degradation. What we had here was degradation, but that was also judgment. Don't let me go there. Okay.
That's right there. That's a whole new conversation.
That's a whole different conversation.
Yes, indeed.
The reason we have what we have going on right now is because of what we did way back in the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to break this down so it'll be broke. In the Bible, it says you're not supposed to move the boundaries. And they were talking about land, but that ain't the only boundary you're not supposed to move. We have moved boundaries as far as what gender is. And now we got every 61, 67 different types of perverted genders out here, because that's what it is. It's perversion. It's perversion. It ain't no trans, whatever that word that she was using, euphoria. Stop with these words. Please stop with that. It's trash. It's called perversion. And it's the author of confusion. Who's the father of confusion? Satan himself. He's the author of confusion. Okay? So the thing is that we try to put all these words on things. We try to make it seem like it's this and it's that, and we try to and here's the thing. You had a moral compass to go by. You refused to do it. You see what happened to God, Sodom, and Gomorrah. Okay? God took care of that. Okay? Took care of that. And we're about to get judged again. What you're seeing right
now
is the judgment of God.
It does seem like that. It does seem like everything is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what it feels like to me.
It is.
When you go back to,
what's that?
I was say, yeah, when you go back and you look at what Obama did,
yes.
I tell people all the time, homosexual marriage has been around for a while, but it takes a different tone when the leader from position of leader sanctions it. And that's what he did. He sanctioned it from the position of leader. And this nation is now being positioned for judgment. We are being positioned for judgment. And that is coming. And judgment always starts with the house of God first. Because the church did not stand up and openly rebuke President Obama. They should have rebuked him openly.
Yes.
And they didn't.
They can't. They can't. Because these churches.
Now, why? Hold up. You said they can't. You said
they
can't, Mary. Why can't they?
They can't.
Why can't they?
Because they're 501c3 churches, which means on church, there is a list of things you can rebuke and talk about and preach about. You can't preach against homosexuality. You can't preach against women being feminist. You can't preach against a lot of stuff. Well, I did a show on that. I told you about that, Marquise. We still got the show.
Mm-hmm.
I still got it in my archives where we actually read the whole federal list of stuff. We went and we found the paperwork. This is why you see preachers only preaching about blessings and grace and mercy and prosperity and get your breakthrough and get your breakout and all this other stuff and money coming towards me and all this other nonsense, because they cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can't do it. And people
and that's
reject
why. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go. You're on the roll. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Go ahead. You're on the roll.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, I agree with you. And this is why I am against the Civil Rights Act, because you marry those two things that you just said, 501c with the Civil Rights Act. Worst thing that happened to Black America post-slavery was the Civil Rights Act, and that includes the Black Codes and Vagrancy Laws, which were a form of second slavery. That includes Jim Crow. That includes segregation.
Yep.
That includes the prison industrial complex. That includes the lynching, because the Civil Rights Act, which was a Marxist movement, the goal was not Black empowerment. It was about Black inclusion into a culture that is going to be socially re-engineered. The goal was never to empower Blacks, because if they wanted to empower us, all they had to do was simply enforce the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. By not enforcing the Constitution, but they did a sleight of hand. They didn't want to come out and say the Constitution still really going to apply to you, but that's what they really said. But here's what the Civil Rights Act did. When it included us into the overall culture at large, it eradicated and destroyed the Black community. Because prior to that, we had our own hospitals, which means we could heal ourselves. We had our own schools, which means we could educate ourselves. We had our own banks, which means we could do business amongst ourselves. We had our own groceries, which means we could feed ourselves. And look at all of the Black Wall Street that we were able to build despite being oppressed, because we had a community. And here's my point. At the heart of the community was the barbershop and the church. You went to the barbershop to find out what was happening. You went to the church to find out what are we going to do about it. And they neutered the church, which is central to how we have thrived and built as a people, because we have turned our back on the Most High. I talk about Romans chapter 1 all the time, And I tell people all the time, Romans chapter 1 is not so much about homosexuality as it is about a culture that has turned its back on God. Therefore, he has given them over to a reprobate mind. How do we know they turned their back on God? Because of how, because of who and what they're worshiping and how they do relationships. So homosexuality is exhibit A in the indictment. Look how you're doing relationship. But anyway, I wanted to let you go back on since you were on a roll.
You on a roll too. And I think I know who this person is because I downloaded your video that you did on TikTok and saying the same exact thing. And I said, oh, my
God. Right. I'm on TikTok as a Get Over It Media. And that's what happened to us.
I think I follow you. I'm actually a simple Christian. So we need to
talk. But I thought I definitely would follow you. And that's one of the things that they did. They removed here's what I always say. I always say Marxists, socialists, communists, I just lump them all together, even though I know there's a textbook difference, definition for each. I just lump them together. And I always say this. Marxists play the long game. They play hardball and they play for keeps. This started generations ago. But if you want to go back to you can go back to the 1920s, but you can go back to the early 1900s with the League of Nations. You can go back to that before that. When Freemasons start, you can go back before that.
Yep.
My point is that you can go all the way back to the Garden, and that's when the New World Order started. Garden of Eden is when it all started. And it's like what you said about obedience and disobedience. I was talking about divine providence, that is God's sovereignty versus man's free will. I keep it all the time. Y'all got it backwards. Man's free will is limited. It's capped. And it will never rise to a level in which God's sovereignty is threatened. Man's free will never threaten God's sovereignty. His sovereignty is never in question. And the bottom line is this. Every act of our free will that we exercise, it falls into one or two categories, either obedience or disobedience. You've got to start there. So you start talking about, well, how can God be sovereign if I got free will? First of all, your free will is capped, dude. It is limited, and it was limited by him. First of all, he limited it, first of all, in terms of who your parents were, who you were born to. He limited it to the era and time you were born. He limited it to the resources that you have. He limited it to the abilities that you have. It's like taking a baby and putting a baby in a crib. He's capped. He's limited. And you can put in that crib what you want him to play with and what you don't want him to play with. You are still in control as the parent. God is still sovereignly in control, despite, quote-unquote, man's free will, but that's a whole separate video, a whole separate topic.
Oh, but we can still go on that topic if you want. We can go on that topic.
But my thing about the transhumanism was what people talked about when you talked about the God. We are image bearers. And because we are image bearers, that is the seat of our humanity and our core dignity because we bear God's image. Now, when you start playing with the image, you start playing with our identity and our humanity. And that's what transhumanism does. All right, exactly. Are either of you familiar with something called the Great Reset?
I am.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. When they talk about the Great Reset, they talk about progressivism and moving forward. I tell people all the time, don't fool yourself. Despite all that talk of moving forward, the Great Reset is about moving back to the practices of the ancient world, including their religion and their belief system. They're trying to reestablish the ancient belief system of the ancient world. So we start talking about transhumanism. They're talking about man being more. Him talking about man ascending to godhood, which is what the devil, the serpent, promised in the garden. Man is always going to try to be God. So now, that's what the transhumanism is about, man evolving into a state of godhood. You take the actor Ezra Miller. He identifies as a they. Okay? Now, he says his exact words were, I barely identify as human. I promise you he ain't saying less than human. He's saying more than. Now, why is that important? Why is this whole concept of they? Where does this whole concept of they come from? It goes back to the ancient belief system of the ancient world. They believed that their gods were gender fluid, to be a man, to be a woman. Now, so what they're trying to do with this transgenderism is to make themselves in the image of who they worship.
Yep.
That's all they try to do. They try to reflect his image. Now, there's this ancient guy called Atum or Atum. It's the same thing. He's called the Great Heshi, the Great They. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to reflect and emulate who they worship. In the book of Jude, He talked about how they did not keep their first estate. That means that those fallen angels, they disrobed.
Yep.
They took all. That was, they took something off. Now, so with this whole transgenderism, they're trying to take off the restraints of the Most High. The limits that he has placed on them. I talked about limits earlier. That's what they're trying to do. They consider themselves taking off the limits and the constraints to try to be more and be something other than, and it's about them being cast in the image of their God, the Baphomet.
And,
but anyway. Yeah.
And keeping the Baphomet. Exactly. I was getting ready. I got, why do I have my hand up like I'm in class? I'm the only one home because I'm with everything that you say. People don't understand where this, like I said, if you want to know why we are here, read your Bible. All you got to do. But it's more than just reading it. Don't read it like a novel. You're going to have to understand this thing. It's not for everybody. Okay, everybody, you just can't pick this up and read it like you would read Tom Huck, whatever it is, you know, Huckleberry Finn or anything like that, or Macbeth. This thing is a spirit-filled thing. This thing is breathing, living. Okay, this thing is a living thing. This is a spirit. And for those who don't think, let me go back in the trash and pick this out. Okay, for those of you who don't believe and ain't into religion, you are already in religion. Whatever it is you stand for is your God. Okay?
Yes.
And that is your religion.
Go ahead.
Okay. Whether it's feminism, whether it's being a Republican, being conservative, being a liberal, being this, being that, whatever you stand and put your foot on and you start putting a dog in the fight and a horse in the race, that is your golden calf. Yeah. That is your idolatry. That is your God, and that is your religion. Whether it's atheism, because you got to be really religious to believe atheism. I mean, you got faith, man. You got faith to believe something comes from nothing. That is beyond faith. I don't know what that is. That's a different level of faith. You are in a religion. Everybody's in a religion. Okay, everybody. So just cut that mess out. Now let me go ahead and put that back in the trash because somebody did say that they're not too religious. You know, you can't. Here's another thing. You can't say that you are. Oh well, I have nothing against homosexuals and what they do. I just don't like this. So what you're saying is I don't like this evil. I like this evil over here. Okay.
Right.
I don't like this. Okay. I like this evil over here. You can't be double-minded. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I'm going to say this, Marquise, to you, and you know how I am. I just keep it straight, no chaser. You know how I do. Okay, I shoot from the hip, and I don't care what I hit. All right? Here's the thing. Believe that. You believe that you are unstable in all your ways. I mean, you believe that there's certain levels to evil and certain evils you okay with that ain't got nothing to do with me, that ain't my concern. It is your. You are part of the problem. You are part of the problem. See, the problem is now that the boundaries have been moved. You don't like where it went. You open the floodgates, but you don't. You trying to control where the water go. There's water going everywhere. Okay, you don't have a mop or a bucket big enough to lock it up and to clean it up. Matter of fact, you can't because we open that floodgate the moment in the garden. We open that. That's the reason why you had. Devil who was a judge. This is the reason why Jezebel controlled Ahab, and the Ahab spirit came in, which basically means that he became subservient to his wife. This is the reason why you don't have men taking control of the household, meaning he's the head. We are the helpers. We help. We're helpmates. We are supposed to help our husbands. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, and believe me, they need help because they can't handle it all on their own. There's a reason why God said, you know, I'm going to make him a mate. He didn't make him a mate so he can have sex with. We're there to help, to support, to, you know what I'm saying, to give advice to whatever. But it's up to the man who's the head of the household, who is hopefully God is his head, is making decisions for all of us. I have to agree with you on the civil rights thing. My dad was born in 1929. My mother was born in 1930. They have now gone on, okay? And one of the things my dad used to say as a preacher, he said the worst thing that we ever did was do what? Segregate, desegregate. He said that was the worst thing we ever did. Worst thing that we ever did because of the fact that our moral standards and our went completely down the hill. homosexuality was always open in the white community. And look, if you don't believe that, look at Terry Grant. Look at people back there in the Silent Cell era. They were openly gay. Doing stuff. Is that they've always been that way. They stepped it up. But let me go a little bit further because it's 1:45. My husband will be home soon. And I'm just cooking dinner. So here we go. I quit my job. I stay at home. I take care of home.
That's right.
I got the degrees. You know what I'm saying? I've got degrees. I work in corporate.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the degrees. I've made the money. But once I realize what my role is, I'm a home because that's where the Bible says I belong. We are supposed to take care of the home, take care of the husband, take care of the children. We don't have any children among us. We're up in age. I'm in my 50s. But nevertheless, we're born with childbearing years according to medical science. Okay? My job is to make sure that my husband is supported. One of the things I do is make sure that when he comes in that door, that meal is done. He don't have to ask me to do that. My mother did it for her husband, which is my dad. When he came in, the hot meal was on the stove. All he had to do was get a plate. That was it, and go eat. That man worked all day. You don't know what he had to endure all day. Okay, now granted, yes, we have a lot to do around the house, but the thing is that if you keep up on it, it won't be a lot. The problem is that you make it a lot because you don't do what you're supposed to do. You're busy TikToking, Facebooking, and you're busy on the phone with your girlfriend.
Right.
Go at the store and start doing what you're supposed to do. Get a schedule. Come on, my grandmother had 30 kids, so 12 kids. She still made it happen. Sure she. But anyway, let me stop with that. Let me go here.
I'll tell you what.
I'm going to say this.
I was going to say any last words because we are definitely falling short of time. Go ahead.
Okay. Any last words is this. The reason why we have what we have also is because of something that this young man said on his TikTok, and that is King Saul. The reason why we got King Saul is because people rejected God as being their king. And we've had nothing but King Sauls all through time. Each one is worse and worse than the next. Don't expect to change anything. Just pray that you can endure what's coming. Reset. Think of a computer. Just think of a computer when you reset it. When you reset it, you wipe away the old stuff that's been causing problems or what you think caused problems, and you start over. We are being factory reset right now. Gas prices, children out of control, sexual immorality. They're killing people left and right. They're coming up with fake pandemics. Children are being indoctrinated. You didn't own your children the moment that you signed them over with the birth certificate. Okay, it's a security card. Your right as a parent went out the window. They decided to take over. The fact that they are telling you that there's too much population is not true. We got more land, but you don't know about it because they forged the maps. I mean, I'm not even going to go there. Okay, so don't expect things to get better. There's no amount of government that you can put in place. There's no amount of legislation, no amendments, no laws. Just pray that you can endure what's about to come.
Yeah,
and it's coming in. It's coming in hot and heavy too.
Hot and heavy.
Go ahead, Mr. Wallace. What you got?
Go back to what the sister said earlier about the ancient landmarks being removed. There are four pillars that should never be moved. One is the sanctity of who God is. The sanctity of life, the sanctity of male and female made he them, and the sanctity of marriage. And then, of course, there's sub-pillars under that, but those are the four main pillars. We've moved all of those. The first thing we did was the Skulls Monkey Trial, with the attack on the scriptures and who God is. A generation later, they took out prayer from the schools. And then you had Roe v. Wade. A generation later, now you have the attack on marriage. And now you have to take on male and female, made he them. So, yeah, when you start moving those pillars, it, you start seeing what's happening. That's what we are. And all of this is predictable. We can see we see where we are, and we should have been able to predict that. But it starts with us getting right with the Most High first. And so, yeah, that's what happened to us. That's where we are.
Yep.
All right. Sounds like some incrementalism in full effect, because a lot of people aren't taking the tally, just like you just laid out. No, people aren't taking that into their account when they see stuff happen in front of them. And that will definitely keep you ignorant if you don't know your history. And if you can't see where it came from, you can't see where you are, so you won't see where you're going, and it's right here in front of you.
Absolutely.
But listen, I appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you for being a part of the daggone conversation today. This is Brother Marquise. You've been listening to Fireback Radio. Find us online at firebackradio.com. Thanks again, my people. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Days of long ago comes a legend.
You have walked into the room of Fireback Radio. You can find us online at firebackradio.com, and of course